in the Sunday school class is our personal testimony. But I want to talk about it in the context of a personal testimony in witnessing. Because we all know, who can recite to me here, Proverbs 11, chapter 11, verse 30. Okay, well, that's hard to ask a question like that. I'm asking a lot, I know. But Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 says that he that winneth souls is wise. So, according to the scripture, if we want to be wise in our lifestyle and how we, the things that we do, scripture says he that wins souls is wise. So, that means, you know, going out and sharing Christ with others, and to the point where the Spirit of God will save the soul that we share Christ with. But if we're going to share Christ with others, a good way of getting into the gospel is by your personal testimony. I mean, it's tough just to walk up to somebody and tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, are you saved? That doesn't work real well. But a good way to get into it, and a way which will help that person share his life, is for you, first of all, to share your life with someone, how you came to Christ, and the difference he has made in your life. Now, when I talk about the Great Commission, what is the Great Commission? When I use that phrase, Great Commission, what is meant by that? Right. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You find that in Matthew chapter 28. In fact, let's look at that, because there's two key words there that I think you'll find interesting. In Matthew chapter 28, yes, very good. Matthew 28, and I'm going to share with you verse 19. However, opening this up reminds me that we did, I know that Tim prayed, but I think I should pray as well. Let's pray for a moment. Our Lord, as we look into your word, we know that this is not just an academic exercise, for it must be blessed by the Spirit of God to drive the word home to our hearts. So that's what we're asking for now. We ask, first of all, for wisdom, that we can accurately understand your word. And then we pray that we will apply it by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you get all the glory and honor. And I ask this now in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now, as you look in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, right, this is one of the verses here that we refer to as the Great Commission. For there it says, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. A couple interesting things there. First of all, you see the word in verse 29, go into all the world and teach all nations. But then as you go to verse 20, that begins with the word teaching. So it's the same word, teach or teaching. However, if you go back to the Greek text, they're two different words. For example, in verse 19, to go therefore and to teach all nations, that is the word mathetes. And that means to what we would call disciple. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 tells us to the things that we have learned among many witnesses to teach others, that they will teach others also. And that's what discipleship is. It is like teaching a person, you're not only evangelizing so they come to Christ, but then you take that new convert and teach them so that they will then go out and share Christ with others. So that's what we call discipleship. And this verse here in verse 19, go therefore and teach all nations. That is the word to disciple all nations. But then as you go here to verse 20, teaching them to observe, there's that word teach. That is the word didaskalos, and that means teach, like I'm doing right now. So you have in these verses here a picture of discipleship and a picture of teaching. right close together, and they are associated with going into all the world and preaching the word. And then the last thing I just came to me as I'm looking at this now, the text goes on to say in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, to the disciples, that would be a bit difficult to take. When Jesus ministered, he ministered only in Israel, and he ministered to Jews. It's not to the end of his ministry where, and here he's giving forth a great commission now to go into all the world, and that is to go beyond the bound of Israel and give the gospel to the goyim, to the Gentile. However, to the Jews, that was hard to take because the Jews didn't like the Gentiles. They looked at the Gentiles as being dogs, low life, and who wants to associate with them? And now the Great Commission is, go now and teach these dogs, these Gentiles, the word of God. And of course, then you see in Acts, they start to do this, and by the grace of God, it goes to, that's why we're here today, that we are able to receive the word of God and now turn around and give it to others. Now, if you look in your Bible to John, let's go to the Gospel of John for a moment. And if we're looking in John chapter 1, and if you look in verse 43, John chapter 1, verse 43, it says here, and the day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee. Now, where's Galilee? In the structure of Israel, where is Galilee? Now, Israel at this time is like in three provinces. There's Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. Galilee's in the north. The central part is Samaria, and then the bottom is Judea. Now, it's saying here that Jesus would go forth to Galilee. That's the northern part of Israel. And he finds a person named Philip, and says unto Philip, follow me.
John 1:43.
Maybe I probably said the wrong verse, yeah. Probably everybody else did the same thing because I said the wrong thing, probably. I do that often. That's a good thing my wife is here, keeps me straight, and I'll have something to share about her later. No, really to share, what a great helpmate she is, because if I don't have her, I've been cooked long ago. But she's the one that sits there in the audience quiet, but I sort of get all the attention, but she really does a lot of the stuff. In fact, I wouldn't be here today if she wasn't working the GPS. These GPSs, though, are something wrong with ours, because it actually gives you misinformation as opposed to the proper information, but that's another story. 43, so the day following Jesus would go forth to Galilee, northern kingdom, or province of Israel, he finds Philip and says unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And now notice this progression. And Philip finds Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and of the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said, and then it goes on about Nathanael and Philip, but you see the progression here. Philip, the Lord approaches Philip, and Jesus says, follow me. And then what's the natural thing? Then Philip goes out and gets Nathanael. Hey, Phil, Nathanael, come with us. And this is how this thing progresses. One person tells another. And that is evangelism, or the evangelism slash discipleship, you could call it this. And then let's go over here to Acts for just a moment, and let's look here to Acts chapter 8. I'm looking here in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 4. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. And there it tells us, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So this has to do, there was a persecution upon the Christians, and so they scatter. But as they scatter, Where do they go? They go everywhere, what? Preaching the word, sharing Christ. So I guess that would be the first thing I want to get across here today in relationship to our testimony. Number one is that we should be busy sharing Christ. But there's two things that discourage us in sharing Christ. One is we don't know how to explain the gospel, really. I mean, do you know how to explain that to someone in a clear, concise, succinct manner? Do you know how to do that? And then secondly, something else which does discourage us, and that is we're thinking, well, what if they ask me a question and I can't answer it? Because when you're talking about God, you're talking about God of the universe, you're talking about creation, we're talking about Jesus back in the first century, we're talking about the Old Testament. I mean, there's a million questions you could be asked. And there's always that threat, well, someone's going to ask me a question and I can't answer it. Then I'm going to be embarrassed. And then I won't know what to do. That reminds me, as I'm just sharing this with you, many, many years ago, in my own personal life, I began to grow in my faith when I was in college. Although I do believe the Lord saved me as a young person, young child, but I began to grow in my faith as a college student. Usually, when people go to college, they lose their faith. You know, they get all wrapped up in humanism and evolution and all that goes along with it. For me, it was just the opposite. I really grew and progressed in my faith when I was there. There was a time we were doing some evangelism at the University of Miami. And so I go on the university campus there, and I was talking to we were sitting out like in the student union outside, and I was talking to one of the students about the Lord. And this guy says, and he gets up, he says, "Hey, everybody, come on." It was like a patio about as big as this, you know, and the students are out, you know, talking, and, you know, whatever. "Hey, come on, we got a religious fanatic over here. Come here, let's see what he has to say." So, you know, they all pounce around the table, and there I am, so intimidated. But I, you know, just began to share a couple of things about the gospel, and you get a couple questions. "Well, what are you about evolution? We don't believe in that." But a lot of times I find if you can just give, many times, just a one or two quick word answer, a lot of times that'll satisfy people and you can get right back to the gospel, and then, you know, that's what you want to do. But the point is, how can we answer people's questions? And so this is something that I have found to be a help. If someone says, "Well, you know, I don't believe the Bible. After all, it's full of contradictions." Okay, so whatever they bring up to you, just turn it right back on them and say, "Okay, could you please show me a contradiction that you have in mind?" 90% of the time, they don't know what to say because they haven't read it themselves. Or they'll say, "Well, no, you know, I believe in evolution. I don't believe in the Bible." Then always think, whatever they bring you, give it right back to them. And simply say things like, "Well, what have you seen in the Bible or in evolution that will cause you not to trust in the Word of God?" And you're looking for something, make them be specific in their answer. Most of the time, they'll stop. They'll pull back because it's just an objection that they will give. And then once they pull back, now you can move in with a presentation of the gospel if you know how to do it. So again, we're getting right back to the content. Exactly what do I say to someone if I'm going to share the gospel? And, I mean, look at this. My wife doesn't like me to do this, but I'm going to do it because I think it fits. She says, "Oh, you're bragging." I'm not bragging. I'm just trying to give you some information here. There's 1,000, she's laughing now. There's 1,000, in our Bible, there's 1,189 chapters. 31,102 verses, 788,280 words. And if you want to get specific, 3,556,480 letters in your in your King James Bible. So, you know, what part of this are you going to share with someone to make it simple for them to trust in Christ? So these are the things we have to get down. Number one, how are we going to explain the gospel? And secondly, how can we answer their questions? So, but really what I'm wanting to talk to you today primarily is about a tool, how to even get into this. How do I even sit down if I'm in a plane or I'm at a bus station or wherever I am, how can I gradually get into the gospel? And that's really the main thing I want to bring to you today. I'm beating around the bush to get right into this, and that is your personal testimony is a great tool to open up the door to share the gospel with people. Yes, Lisa.
And, you know, there's so many ways of personal testimony.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just praying over your food when they deliver it off next
year. Yeah.
Or just saying, using the Lord. When I talk to people, I'll just say that the Lord.
Yes.
There's so many different little things there, and oftentimes people think, that's nice, I like what you believe, and then that's
that opens the door, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
Yeah. More often than not, they do X.
Mm-hmm. That's the best way to do it. And that is, if you're living a lifestyle which is before the Lord, then many times that will just create curiosity and people will start to ask you. You don't even have to approach them, they'll come to you. That's the best way, but that often doesn't occur. Have you had anybody ever say, "Hey, you know, I like your life. What's your life all about?" Rarely you get that, but it does happen sometimes, and that's really the ultimate best way to naturally get into the gospel. Now, I'm trying to think of the most recent one in my own life. I may have shared, I'm not sure if I shared this here or not. Vicki, let me know if I said this last time I was here, because I speak to different places. Sometimes I'm not sure if I gave the example here or in other places. So, this happened about maybe 6 weeks ago. We were at a birthday party. For Joy, if you remember Joy's birthday. Did I share this here with him? Okay, if this sounds familiar, raise your hand and I'll stop and move on. But I think this is the most recent time I was talking to someone about the Lord. And it was about 6 weeks ago. So that's not good. I should be talking to you about something I did yesterday. But truth is, it took about 6 weeks ago. So we're at a birthday party, and the person whose birthday we're celebrating is from the Philippines. So there were a lot of Filipino people there, and then me, I'm the white guy there, and there's one other white person, and the rest of them were Filipinos. Really, and you know what? These people, Filipino people, are really disciples of the Lord. They love the Lord. When they get saved, well, they're on fire for Jesus. And that's what this was, pretty much a group of Christian people. So I'm sitting at the table, and there's a man next to me who was another white guy, and we talked for a little while, and eventually he got out and walked away somewhere and did something else. So then I looked to the next gentleman next to me, was a Filipino man. I thought, okay, I want to get to know this man, and I'm actually thinking, maybe I can share the Lord with him, because we're just sitting around the table here, and actually all the activity is going on to my left. So this fellow and I were sitting here, so I moved over, went, and I said, "Hi, I'm Don Britton. Who are you?" And he mentioned his name. And I'm thinking, how can I share the Lord with him? So we talked about our lives a little bit, and I said, "You mind if, can I ask you a question?" He said, yeah. I said, "Well, God forbid that this should happen, but if you were to die today, do you think you'd go to heaven?" And he gets this back, and he said, "I don't know, I really don't believe in heaven because, you know, I don't believe in God, and where's God? I don't see God anywhere." And so we were talking for a while, and I don't remember exactly what my comeback was, but we talked a little bit about, you know, I probably would have said something like, "Well, I know you can't, there's many things that exist you can't see. You can't see air, but you know, the air's here. You believe in oxygen, don't you?" "Yes." "Well, you can't see it, can you?" "No." "Well, I mean, you say you can't see God, you don't believe in God. That doesn't hold up." You get into the conversations like this. Anyway, we talked like this for about maybe 5 to 7 minutes. I'm thinking the purpose of it is to get into the gospel. So I thought, well, I take a deep breath and I just ask him. Well, Philip, if I were to ask you, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? Of course, then he gave me that objection. I said, "Well, can I share with you quickly how I came to know I have eternal life and how you can know it too?" He said, "All right." So I gave him maybe like a 3-minute testimony, very short. And then I went into the gospel with him a little bit about receiving Christ. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to ask him a question. Just see what he does. I said, well, Philip, you know, I told you a little bit about my life, about receiving Christ, believing in him, that Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for our sins, buried, resurrected, offers the gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins as we trust in him. And then I said, Philip, have you ever put your faith in Christ? He said, no. Okay. I said, would you like to? To my shock, he says, yes, very seriously. He says, yes, I would. And I'm thinking, you know, I guess just with all the objection that he gave me, I thought, okay, I'm going to take this one step further. Philip, would you like to receive Christ right now? And to my surprise, he said, very seriously, he said, yes, I would. I said, well, then why don't we pray together right now? And so I held his hand, and you know, we prayed, you know, that he would be saved, that God would forgive him of his sins, that he would receive the Lord Jesus as his Savior and as his Lord. Forgive me my sins, and prayed in that manner. And then we were done. And I, you know, looked up at him, and he was very, you know, very sincere about all this. At that point, something happened in a party. It was a party, you know, celebration going on, and so somehow we got. I gave him my telephone number and things, and I wanted to get his number so I could follow him up, but I did not get it. And Joy is supposed to give it to me. I don't think she ever gave it to me. But oh, you do? Okay, Filipino Phil, what I call him. But yeah. Okay. Anyway, so that was the end of that. Now, did he really trust in Christ? I don't know. Sometimes people will go through that, and it really is just, either they're emotionally moved or whatever, but sometimes they do this and they're actually, God saves them and they become new creatures in Christ. I'm embarrassed to say that I was unable to follow up with Phil. You need to follow people up like this says, mathetes, disciple people, but I have not done that with him. But the point I'm trying to make though is that in order to share the gospel with people, a tool that we can have is our personal testimony. If I tell him a little bit about myself, he will tend to, you know, be free to share some things about his own life. So that's what I mean by a personal testimony, for you being able to share your life with someone else. Now, a couple more things. Why does everybody want to call me now? They never call me now. I'm here and everybody wants to call me for a minute here. Excuse me a second. Let me shut this thing off here. Oh, okay, excuse me a second here. Let's see here. Oh, okay, that's not important there. Okay, all right, well, anyway. All right, I did one time I was preaching and the phone rang. So I said, excuse me a second, you know, hello, yeah. All right, so now in sharing our life with Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ, Christ in our life, our personal testimony, I mentioned this to my wife a couple of times and often to the people. If I were to ask you right now, I would like each of you to come up and give a 1-minute testimony how you came to Christ. Okay, I sit down now. Are you ready to do it? Well, I'm not really asking that, but could you do that? Could you get up here and with some sense of order be able to share how you came to Christ within 1 minute, around a minute, 2 minutes, whatever? Because that we should be as Christians. Now, we've been saved, my guess is we've been saved 5, 10, 15, in our case, many, many years. So the least thing we should be able to do is to tell our life to someone else in a comprehensive manner, easy to understand, with a little bit of interest in it, how we came to Christ, for the purpose of, ultimately, sharing Christ with them. So in giving our testimony, What is my testimony? My testimony is God's faithfulness in my life. Basically, it's what that is. It's about what the Lord did in my life. The testimony really isn't about me. It's about the Lord in my life. So, for example, my personal testimony would begin by this. A short testimony, a 3 to 5 minute testimony, begins with, I do not know when I was saved. I know it was fairly young in life, but here's the thing. The first thing I remember in my life unfortunately, it was the death of my mother. My mother died when I was 6. And so I remember that left me very insecure, very, I don't know, confused, really, as a young little kid. And then, due to the influence of my father in my life, I received the gift of eternal life. And I know this, that that confusion was replaced with confidence. That fear was placed, was replaced with trust. And I know this, that if I were to die today, I would go to heaven. Tell me, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? So again, if I share a little bit of my life, then someone is more willing to share a little bit of their life. Now you can do this. You can do it cold. And I'm going to share this. This is a true experience when I was in college. My roommate was from Montreal, Canada. I'm from Philly area. So, and now, as I mentioned to you before, during my college years, I'm beginning to grow in my faith in the Lord, beginning to share Christ and so forth. So now I'm thinking, my roommate. Is there anyone more obvious to share the Lord with than my roommate, Al? But if you knew Al's personality, it's not going to be an easy thing. He was a very, pretty angry, bitter person, actually, at that time. Now, I've been wanting to share Christ with him for, you know, the Holy Spirit convicted me to do this for probably several months. We went there to college at the University of Kentucky on a football scholarship. So he was a scholarship person, I was. So we had this time together. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to do it. Al, now I don't know what he's doing. Just out of the clear blue sky. I didn't give a testimony. I just clear blue. Hey, Al, I'd like to ask you a question. What's that? And the way I put it was, have you ever thought about becoming a Christian? And I'll never forget Al's response. He got his fist. I mean, he's a big, strong guy. And he got his fist like that. And he goes over to the closet door, and he slams the closet door with his fist. Boom! And he says, never talk to me about that again. Well, I touched the sore spot in him, I'm sure. And I go, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean you. I walk away. So at that time we had a Bible study with some of the players there. We'd get up in the morning, had a Bible study downstairs at 6 o'clock in the morning. So we would do this, and then after about maybe a month from that time when I talked to my roommate, he comes down to the Bible study and just sits there, didn't say anything, he just sits there and listens. And then when it was over, you know, we dispersed and went about our ways. And then the next meeting he didn't come to it, next night he didn't come, but the third night out he came again. And he sort of looking up a little bit and paying attention. Making a long story short, Al got saved. Now we're like this. Before we were like this, now we're like this. And so we were roommates for about 2 or 3 years together. And now, you know, Al begins to grow in his faith of the Lord. We go out on the campus and share Christ together. Really, it was a great, great experience. And the last time I saw Al, it's been a while. He lives in Florida, in Orlando, Florida. But his wife came to our church. He married a good Christian girl. And she was just up at our church about 2 years ago giving a testimony to our church there in Pennsylvania. And so, you know, we're two families and we're now raising our children in the ways of the Lord. And just, it's an exciting thing to see, to share Christ, actually, to live for the Lord and to share Christ and then to see someone come to the Lord and then to have them grow. That's the most exciting, and that's the best way to make friends. You'll make friends for life as we share Christ and they come to Christ, and then you do the work of discipleship. Follow up, pray with them, go through the Word of God with them. And it's a great way of, really, it makes for an exciting life. It brings great friends into your life. And it all comes from this, as we see the Great Commission go into all the world and preach the gospel. And as a Christian, if I take that seriously, you see, it can be something you just read. Okay, that's good. What does it have any bearing on me? Well, yes, because it's written to you. It's written to me. And let me just give you a challenge, and then I'll What time is it? Is it time to stop yet? Or? Okay, we got a few more minutes yet. Okay. Maybe you may have a question. If you have any questions, I'll take some of that. If you have any of those, what else did I want? I was going to say something else about going on and going into the world and sharing Christ with others, and of course having your testimony. Now, a testimony, other thing I wanted to say about a testimony, we should have our testimony down where I can give it in a minute, 5 minutes, 20 minutes. If I were to ask you, if this was a, let's say we're a college classroom in a Bible college, which I taught Bible college, and I would do this to kids. Take out a piece of paper and write out your testimony. And they're usually going, my name is John. I go to this church. That's about it. But if you think about your testimony, the circumstances under which you were saved, how you serve the Lord, what's going on in your life now, maybe some of the challenges in your life and how the Lord met them. But to think through your life in an organized fashion, how that you can present it to people in such a way that it opens the door to giving them the gospel. Question? Yeah. Yeah, right.
I'm dropping all these terrible bombs and burning off.
Right.
And you know, it's in my business, construction. Yeah. Construction guys are.
Yeah.
And I just really want to get him off the phone because he's kind of really getting tough.
Yeah.
But we have some things to talk about business. What we were talking about wasn't really that pivotal.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden he starts asking me why these two Middle Eastern cultures have such hate for Christianity, people in America.
Yeah.
And there was a cue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Open it up, we're talking about the Lord, yeah. And all of a sudden he had been cursing, and he goes, what should I do? And I said, the first thing you need to do is stop cursing. Take the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah.
So I quoted verses about how the Lord cursed not by the heavens, and it's destroying, cursed not by the earth.
Yeah.
But slowly, because I never heard that before. And I said, you're going to hell if you're going to take the Lord's name in vain to be saved.
Yeah.
So we were talking about that before.
Cool. Good. Good. Yeah. Yeah, go.
And I said, you need to honor the Lord. And I texted him a Bible verse. And he called me back and he said, I've never had a conversation like this in my life. I will not forget it.
Cool.
And then we talked about it again.
Yeah.
So this morning I sent a couple Bible verses. It has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
The verse is, people have a tendency of making the gospel their own. And the gospel is something from their interpretation.
Yeah.
It has to go with Christ.
Yeah.
And the scriptures have to back it up.
Absolutely.
Works,
oh, yeah, right.
It's like an intervention.
Right, right. It's an intervention, right. And what good is that? No, that's good. That's a good example. And you're making me think. I was in construction work for a while myself. I didn't do it. You did. I was the laborer. I was a lowly laborer. And I worked in non-union shops and in union shops. And I think this was a union shop where I was like a laborer, you know, carrying wood from there to there and all that. You know, that the laborer is a low man on the construction site. So there was a fellow there, we got talking, and you know, and I shared the gospel with him. Oh, this is how it happened. We're getting ready to go home. In fact, we were up in Norristown pouring concrete, and it was a long, hot afternoon. It's 4 o'clock, we're cleaning up, you know, clean your boots off and all this stuff, and because you make a mess, you're hot and sweaty and all this. So I clean all this up, get in my car, I'm getting ready to go home. And one of the guys I was working, hey, fella. I stopped, yeah. Can you take me home? I lost my ride. Okay, where do you live? In Chester. It's the opposite direction of where I was going. And I wanted to say, no, I'm in a hurry. But I thought, Lord, what would you have me to do? You know, pick the guy. Okay, come on, I'll take you home. Come on. So he gets in the car. And he had been drinking most of the day. So, you know, he's in the kind of car smells like alcohol, you know, and thank you for taking me. And so I'm thinking, well, you know what, I have a captured audience here, and it's going to take me a good half hour to get him home, so I'm going to give the gospel. If he doesn't like it, I mean, he asked for a ride. Let him walk, yeah. If you want to get out, you can. So, you know, I shared the gospel with him, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, trust in Christ, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance, following the Lord, etc. So he just sort of, you know, thank you, buddy, thank you. So here's my house now. You can stop. Okay, stop. So he gets out of the car. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And he walks on his way, and I thought, I'll never see that guy again. Well, maybe 6 months later, I'm at a different construction site, at Philadelphia Electric construction site. And again, I was carrying boards from one place to another, and this guy comes walking the other way. Hey, buddy, wait a minute. I know you. You do? I don't know you. Yeah, remember you took me home to Chester. And he said, I want you to know something. I received the Lord that day, and it changed my life. And this guy now was sober, he spoke clearly, and you know, had a purpose in life. And I'm thinking, my gosh, I didn't realize, you know, this and I'll never forget that. And that was, I thought about that, because in the construction site, in the construction business, you know, as you say, they're pretty rough people sometimes, and they're crude and all that. But yet, if you do exactly what Tim mentioned, or you share the word, don't not to be intimidated. Share it anyway, and let the Lord then take it and do what He wants to do with it. Yes, Lisi. Yes, yes. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And he told us that in order to get the title to the car, we had to go to his brother's dealership, which really, as the crow flies, is probably only 10 minutes away. Even that guy took us on an hour and a half trip because he wanted to pick our brains about the Lord.
Huh, okay.
And it was just a simple thing. I think we just said, well, she's a Christian, and you know, her eyes are going bad, and she had this accent. Right away, he wanted to know. So sometimes it's just telling these people. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So everything we do can be utilized.
Very good. Yeah.
Talking about, you know, car.
Yeah.
And I want to put an addendum on what Tim said, because he's dealt with this guy for many years, and he's had to suffer these you know, the bad language and everything for many years, but he runs his business in such an upright manner. People notice that.
Yeah. Yeah, gotta be ready.
And
yeah.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We better fear the Lord and know His word.
Yes.
It's so important. And then it just brings it out. And maybe years in this case before the Lord, you know, brings it back. You are very blessed to have somebody within a few months come back and thought, gee, Lord, it really did matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you wonder.
Sometimes you wonder, you wonder. But you know what God tells us what? His word never returns void. So you give it out, you know something's happening. You may not see it, they may not even tell you, they may hide it from you. But you know, by the authority of God's word, you give the word out, it does do something to people. I just want to reinforce what you were saying, Lisi, from one of my favorite portions. Actually, really, this encouraged me to go into the ministry many, many years ago when I couldn't say two words publicly to anybody. but this is what actually helped me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and looking here in verse 23. Let's hear these words. 1 Corinthians 1:23. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Gentiles foolishness. Okay, we've all dealt with that. Now, there's a but. Verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, and here it is, verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brothers, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But, verse 27, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Isn't that amazing? God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things that are despised has God chosen. Yes, and the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Isn't that beautiful? God chooses the weak things of the world. So, we get the wrong idea. I got to think I've got to be high and mighty and articulate and knowledgeable, and all that doesn't hurt. But we depend on that, and you don't have to have any of that. We just go out in the power and the strength of the Lord, and he will guide you and do great things in your life. Any one of you here, any one of us, and I'm sure that God's already doing it, can use you in a great and mighty way that you can't imagine. And even in my own life, we never stop growing and having a vision and hope of how the Lord can use us. And we'll be that way to the day we die. Hopefully you are in an exciting ministry serving the Lord to the day you die. We don't want to retire. We don't want to sit back on a rocking chair and drink iced tea and what it used to be like. You want to be in the battle till the Lord takes you home. And you say, well, I can't preach, I don't know, I'm not. Yes, what did we just find? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So that's a great promise to me. That really excites me when I get into this. So I will, how much more time do I have? Am I going to stop there? Should I continue on or what? Another row? Okay. Now then, let's turn to, okay. Well, again, I would just leave you with the thoughts about your personal testimony, how important that is. And here's the other thing, how you can use a personal testimony. If you are called upon, maybe you go to a meeting and perhaps like I'm sure Tim thought, pastor's not going to show up today, what am I going to do? Well, or if you're called upon to speak or something and you haven't prepared anything, but if you have your testimony, you can always get up and expound on this, and then from there, take a Bible verse and elaborate on it. And getting your testimony, as I say, you should have one. You can give in 2 minutes, or drag it out to 20 minutes, and you can put all kind of theology in there, telling people about your life in Jesus Christ. And then it's very easy. You share what the Lord did for you, and then follow them up by saying, now, could I ask you a question? Have you come to the place in your life, if you were to die, you would go to heaven? You've already told you about yourself. Now he knows about you. Now you're asking him. What would you do if you were to die today? Do you know you'd go to heaven? Most of the time they'll say, well, I don't know. I think so, but I'm really not sure. Go right into the gospel. So the testimony, again, that's what I want to stress today. I've said a lot of things here, but what did the preacher, teacher do today? What would we talk about? A personal testimony. And you can talk about what your life was like before you were a Christian, and then what your life was like after you came to Christ. And then number three, get into that question. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And then that'll open up doors to really, to share Christ. A personal testimony. No, and you know, when you give your testimony, no one can say, well, that's wrong. That's not right. Well, how do they know? This is my life. So I'm not going to be corrected because I'm telling him about my life, which he doesn't know. And it's just a natural avenue to get into the gospel. It's a great tool to have ready in case you have an opportunity to give a testimony or to speak somewhere you haven't prepared. Start with your testimony and then go in. I'm thinking of the very first time, and I'll close with this because I'm sure I'm over time here. So let me conclude with this in terms of testimony. I told you I began to grow in my faith and knowledge of Christ while I was a college student. Okay, the day came. I was probably a freshman or maybe a sophomore, and a fellow who did discipleship. He had a fellow disciple me. And that's why I'm so into this, because I can see how. So this fellow would meet with me for maybe once a week. And he was from Campus Crusade for Christ. Maybe some of you are familiar with that organization. And we would have Bible study, prayer. He would come to some of the practices and watch and all this kind of thing. So we're building a relationship. One day he says to me, "Don, I'd like you to give your testimony to a group of businessmen in Louisville, Kentucky." Now I was attending University of Kentucky in Lexington. Louisville's like maybe an hour's drive away. "So I want to pick you up on Friday morning, and we'll go into Louisville, and I want you to give your testimony to a group of businessmen." Now, I never spoke publicly before in my life, and I was, you know, I was really timid and fearful and all this. So that was my state of mind. Okay. Now, I did not have my testimony worked out like I'm sharing with you, so I'm thinking, oh, what am I gonna, I don't know what to say. The day comes, Jay picks me up. We're driving to Louisville. I'm sitting in the car and thinking, I don't know. Now, I'm on my way there, I still don't know what I'm gonna say. So Jay, the fellow that discipled me, said, "Now Don," he's driving, "do you know, what? Tell me, what are you gonna say?" And I say, "I don't know." He said, "What? I told you, Jay, I don't speak publicly. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what I'm going to say." He said, "Well, we need to start thinking about something, what you're going to tell these businessmen." So it was a testimony, little testimony, how I, you know, came to the Lord as a young person, got involved with Campus Crusade, and that's about all I could. That would take like 30 seconds, and I'm done. What else? And I was the main speaker at this gathering. I thought it was going to be maybe 20, 30 businessmen. It was more like maybe 200 to 300 business in a gigantic hall. And I'm sitting up in the front, you know, with some of the dignitaries there, and I'm there with them. And now I am so nervous. I can't eat anything, and I'm still not sure what I'm going to say. And they're going to introduce me in about 5 minutes to all these people expecting this great testimony. Like, and here he is now, my speaker, Don Britton. Oh, man. I try to hide my fear, you know. Now, I'm standing up next to the podium like this, and I'm my knees are shaking. And there was a glass of water on the podium. And I'm holding on to the podium so I don't fall because of fear. But my knees are shaking like this, which made the ice and the glass rattle as I'm trying to, you know, speak. My time in Jesus Christ, and this thing is awful. I still don't know today what I said. I know I gave a little testimony. Pretty much what I told you, I came to Christ as a young person, began to grow in my life when I was a college student, and blah, 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 wasn't much to it. But here's the point. Actually, 2 points. Number one, there has to be a first time when we speak publicly for the Lord. I know you don't want to, it's scary, I know that, but if you ever have an opportunity to do it, maybe here at church or somewhere, do it. It's easy to say no and just shrink back in the corner. But we don't need that. We need you to step forward and get up. And even if you get up and make a fool of yourself, so what? Like I did. So what? That's your first time. You're going to do that. Second time, you'll make a less fool of yourself. Third time, people won't even think you're a fool. And the fourth time, hey, this guy's not too bad. And then, you know, you just get on, you get more confidence, and get better as time goes on. So, and how do you do this? How do you start? By having your testimony ready, prepared, to give forth. And so if it were getting back to the seminary class, I would collect your papers now and read it, and then I'd give it right back to you and say, "Now give me your testimony again, write it over again and again until you get it smooth, you understand your life, put verses in there, and you have it memorized, and you can give it in a second without thinking. Then you have a powerful tool." Put it to you this way. Tim is in construction, he probably knows this, and a little bit when I was a laborer, I learned the most important tool you can have is your hammer. You know, you have the carpenter has the hammer attached to the side there, and you use that hammer every day for many, many different things. But I would say in our Christian arsenal, our hammer is the testimony. How could the carpenter do anything? He goes to work and leaves the hammer at home. He's sunk. He can't get anything done. But in a way, that's what it is with us as Christians and in getting the Word of God out. The hammer of our evangelism is our personal testimony. Analyze yourself, analyze your life, and begin to write it out in a way which is interesting, some facts, telling what your life was like before you came to Christ, the fears you may have had, the sin that was in your life, whatever it is. And then a little statement about coming to Christ, and then what your life was like after you came to Christ. And then have that move right into the question, and sir, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? So you can finish up your testimony with this statement. And if I were to die today, I know I'd go to heaven. And then you ask the person, now sir, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And then that opens up a whole door of sharing Christ. Well, that's enough of that for right now, and we'll talk more about that later. Any question first? I did say we'd have some questions, but I know church is going to start soon. So, yeah. Oh, my wife has a question. This will be interesting. What do you hear this? Yes. Yeah. My personal testimony with a scripture. Well, I put things like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 to explain the gospel. For by grace you save through faith, not in faith. Yes, Tim? No, that's good. Let's pray. Lord, we want to say thank you for bringing. And Lord, how wonderful is this? We run over time because talking about you is so wonderful we can't stop. But yet, Lord, we want to say thank you for bringing us together. We know all things are to be done decently and in order. May that be our worship service today. Thank you for bringing us here today. Minister to us in this hour of worship. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.